I want to share with us briefly about the dynamics of sonship in the spirit. I began telling us yesterday that when it comes to the context of the kingdom, the people that are profitable to God are not children. God is many things. And I don't have the time to talk about God now. But God is many things. So many that in the whole existence of the race and the age of man, we will not exhaust him. And I said the age of man because there are many ages in the cycles of God. Man is not God's first project, and man will not be God's last project. If you enter the heavens and you begin to see the ranking system of the heaven and the heavenlies, you will see that angels are in different cadres, and angels have different expressions and different similitude. Not every being in heaven is an angel. Some beings are called elders. They don't send them on errands. Their job is to live around the throne. There are other angels that are sent on errands because there are different philosophy and ideology in the God realm that define their existence. When God created the age of man, the philosophy that defined the age of man is intimacy. That's why Paul said, "This is the mystery of this age. There have been many other ages, but in this your age, this is the mystery that undergird your existence. Christ in you, the hope of glory." That means for you to step into glory, and the word glory is not just an atmosphere, it's the essence of God. For you to step into the fullness of the essence of God, you must interact with the God that is on your inside. In the angelic realm, there were many things they did to step into glory. Like the 24 elders and the four beasts, what they do to step into glory is to constantly behold him and to bow before him. And that's why they do it forever and ever. But you say for man, in order to step into glory, is to have continuous intercourse with the Lord that is on their inside. That means our greatest interaction in the spirit is not when we look away, it's when we look within. Because we journey into the spirit by looking within. Because our access into the realm of God is already on our inside. That's a mystery, but I don't have time. So God is many things. God is a father. God is a king. God is a judge. God is a savior. He's many things. When God is dealing with a sinful generation, he has to become savior in order to interact with them. On the premise of savior, he decides to make himself vulnerable. So he will become man and relate with man and die for man. God is father. On the basis of father, he interacts with men as children. So all you will know about God when he's relating with you as a father is his benevolence. So you can sin 1,000 times and you come, you say, "I'm sorry." He will forgive you. That's why he said, "I write unto you, children, because your sins have been forgiven." So as a father, all God chooses to express is his benevolence. You can come to him, even though you are not profitable to him, you will ask for something in the morning, ask in the evening, ask in the night, he will give you. So when you find a man who only knows father praying, all his prayers are prayer points. And all his prayer points are give me, give me, give me. And because God is father, he will keep giving him. But the problem is that a man who relates with God as father alone, we only receive the things he needs. God cannot commit kingdom to him. Because that man is a child. And kingdom is not for children. So he said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. Even though he's Lord of all. So if you know the father is beautiful, you will not lack. But as touching matters of kingdom engagement, you will not be relevant. Because when God is looking for somebody to send to Boko, you can't go. Because all you are interested in is what God will give you. You are living for yourself. And because you are living for yourself, the perils you will meet in trying to dig through the foundation of Boko and find the waters of the Spirit, you will not have the stamina to do it. So you will come to Boko and run around for 3 months. After a while, you start looking for what to eat again because you are a child. You can't go through the drought. You can't go through the wilderness to find your promised land. You can't go through the fire. All you will need is yourself. So God can work with you. So we say, in order for God to depend on you, you must metamorphose from a child to a son. And the necessity of being a son is the urgency of kingdom advancement. Because only sons can advance kingdom. This is why we want to look at the dynamics of sonship in this service this morning. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
What you do to become a son. What you do to become a child is quite simple. An evangelist can make you a child in one crusade. But it may take a lifetime for you to journey into sonship. It may take a lifetime. And so we want to look at the dynamics of sonship this morning. You know, when God met Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and told Moses he wanted to send him to Egypt, Moses thought it was child's play. Because even though Moses was 80 years old, he was a child. Because in the realm of God, you are not a son because you are mature in age, chronologically. So a man of 80 years is a child. He stood up in Egypt, walking by his feeling. He got angry. He started killing Egyptians. That anger is a sign that you are a child. He thought he was a prince and he was strong, so he can kill Egyptians. Because you believe in your might, you are a child. You stand up, you say, because I can talk very well. If I start a ministry, I will take book. Because you believe in your utterance, you are a child. That's what Moses didn't know. He thought he was strong, so he can kill Egyptian. That you believe in your own strength and not the strength of God, you are a child. Somebody stands up and says, I found a message. This message I have now, the world needs it. And because I have a special message, my ministry will blossom. You are a child. Because it's not how intelligent your message is that will make you become an apostle to a generation. That you depend on anything apart from God, you are a child. So Moses was depending on things. He was strong. He was a prince. He could keep people and hide them. So God allowed him for 40 years to understand that what he's doing cannot deliver Israel. After 40 years, meanwhile, in these 40 years, what he was doing was that he was carrying sheep out every day. How can a prince become a shepherd? It didn't make sense. God was teaching him how to reprogram his mind. After that 40 years, he no longer thought like a prince in the natural. After that 40 years, his confidence was no longer in the flesh. He was beginning to learn new things that he didn't learn in the house of Pharaoh. Because in the house of Pharaoh, when he wakes up in the morning, they bait him. They will lead him to the stream. He will lie down, they will bait him. And they will ask him, what do you want to eat? And they will bring it to him, he will eat. He will stand up, he will give command. Now he has to carry sheep to the wilderness. So when he wakes up in the morning, he's running around with the sheep. He taught him humility. He taught him brokenness. He taught him long-suffering, patience, and kindness. He taught him how to serve and not to be served. So he learned a lot of things and nobody taught him. And after 40 years, when he was ready to depend on God, that was when God showed up. And when God wanted to send him, he no longer had confidence in the flesh. He was afraid of Pharaoh. You know, when you have not collided with things, you say, I'm a thief man, so I will take book. You will discover that the spirits don't know who is thief or Edoma. They are finding who has the scepter. You wake up and say, because I pray for the sick, they are healed. I will pack stadium. I will pack out Boko. When you do it for 3 years, you will now come back and say, Lord, help me. That was what happened to Moses. And when God came and sent him, Moses now said, if I go, who will I tell them sent me? He now said, tell them I am that I am have sent you. I am. Now, there are many things I can talk about here. But let me just say 3 things. Now, when he said, I am, what he was revealing to Moses and to the people Moses was going to meet is that I'm bigger than everything you will ever do or know. That means no matter how you try to describe me, I'll be bigger than your description. So what you will do is that Whatever you call me, I will be. Since it will be impossible for you to describe me, anything you call me, I will become. So if you call me deliverer, I will be deliverer. But I'm bigger than a deliverer. So what God revealed to Moses is that I am great. Now, the meaning of that greatness is different from the one we know. Now, when you say a man is great, you compare him with things. So you can say, if somebody is rich, you can say he's as rich as. But when you want to describe God's greatness, there is no as. A man's greatness is in comparison with other things. But God's greatness is without comparison. The moment you can compare, he's no longer great. So what he was telling Moses is that I can't be defined. I can't be described. And because I cannot be defined and I cannot be described, whatever you call me, that is what I will be. So I am that I am. You know, I was telling them in Lagos yesterday, I said, before God began to create, he existed for uncapturable aeons. That means he was God before he was creator. Now, everything we know about God is because he is creator. Everything you know about God now is in the syllable of God as creator. Everything, the whole things you know in the Bible and everything is in the syllables of God as creator. Now, if all of that didn't exist, he's still God. So everything we know about God is God as creator. Now, if God was not creator, there are more than a million things or a billion things that God is that is not creator. So if you call him creator, you have tried, but you are still not correct because he's bigger than creator. Now, because it's impossible to define him, he decided to call himself I am. So whatever you say I am, that's what I am. What it also means is that I was, I am, and I am to come. What that implies is that before anything was, I am reference. In your current dispensation, I am reference. And in the future that you are going to, I am still the reference. That means without me, you are nothing. So he is God because of himself. You are man because of him. He doesn't need you to be God, but you need him to be man. That's what I am still means. I'm trying to explain this thing so that when I start talking about sonship, you know where we are going to. I'm helping you to forget yourself. You are too conscious of yourself. That's what I'm trying to do. I am. Have sent you. I will be what I will be. Have sent you. Now, the second thing that revealed is also the love of God. That means every time you address God, you underrate him. See all this worship we do, and we call God bogus names. In our mind, we are exalting him. But in reality, we are actually demeaning him. Anything you call God, you underrated him. That's the meaning of I am. You say, you are greater than the greatest, you underrated him. That you say he's greater means you compared him. So, it takes the love of God to accept your worship. You are a worshiper. Because your worship underrated him. I will come now and say you are a lion. Him. He's not a lion. He's bigger than a lion. I say you are a spirit. Him is bigger than a spirit. I say you are all and in all. He's bigger. So every time we worship God, it's actually a function of his love. Because for him to relate and associate with our realm in the first place, it's because he loves us. Imagine I come now and then, you know, if you call me a boy, you say, why is he calling me a boy? Does he not know I'm a man? He gets angry because he underrated me. Every time you praise God, that's what you do. You actually call him less than he is because your mind can't capture his essence. You can't capture him. That you try to capture him in a word is an offense in the realm of God. But in the realm of man, he decided to come with love. So he permitted it. That's why you call him names. He permitted it. You can't capture him. Worship is a function of love. That's why you don't earn it. He just chooses to love you. So you can approach his presence. All of that is still in I am. And then the third thing that is in I am was consummated in Christ Jesus. Because God saw the difficulty and the impossibility of bringing his reality into the realm of man. He decided to formulate a strategy. Follow me closely. You know, he had already made Moses understand that I'm greater than everything you can express. So call me whatever you want. Because of my love, I will accept it. So that revealed his greatness and his love. Now, because he doesn't want man to continue in this struggle of not being able to capture him and of him always giving himself because of love, he decided to formulate a wisdom strategy to end that ridicule. So what he did was that he prepared a container and he poured the whole of himself inside. That container is Jesus. So the Bible said in Colossians 2:9 that it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. So the only way you can interact with the whole of God is in the person called Christ. So when you touch Christ, you are actually touching the greatness of God, the love of God, and the wisdom of God. Let me explain what I mean. Me now, I am male. I am a boy. I am a man. I am a husband. I'm not yet a father, but my friend is a father. So, if you are talking about a man is a male. He's a boy. He's a son. He's a father. He's an uncle. He's a grandfather. He's a great-grandfather. Now, if he lives long enough, the great-grandfather will continue great, greater, great, great until like that, into infinity. Now, what God did was that he decided to compress the whole infinity dimension, assuming we are talking about a man, right? I'm trying to say this so that I can imagine God. Take, for example, if my Ketse was to arrange his lineage to Adam, there will be more than 1 billion men, right? Now, in my Ketse's gene, all of those 1 billion people are represented in his gene. So his gene is a compression of all the dynasties that he represents. But he cannot express all of them. Because if you express it now, one day you look like your great-grandfather. The next day you look like your grandfather. The next day you look like your father. You become an enigma. But what God did in Christ was that he compressed the totality of the Godhead and he put him in Christ. So Christ became the expression of the wisdom of God. So Christ is God's greatness, Christ is God's love, and Christ is God's wisdom. So when you encounter Jesus, what Moses was unable to do that made him have to call God, I am. When you call Jesus, you are calling more than I am. Because I am means you can't define my whole being. So call me whatever you want, I will be. But when you say Jesus, you are actually able to satisfy what you couldn't satisfy in I am. Because I am is not the totality of God, but Jesus is the totality of God. Number two, Jesus also is the expression of the love of God. And number three, Jesus is the expression of the wisdom of God. So when a man encounters Jesus, something happens. Because Jesus is the revelation of God's greatness, God's love, and God's wisdom. When a man encounters Jesus, that man also becomes an offspring of God. So he said, he came unto his own knew him not. He said, but as many as received him, as many as received the greatness of God, the love of God, and the wisdom of God, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. So you say it's impossible for a mortal man to be an offspring of an immortal. The greatness of God makes it happen. You say it cannot work for a man to become like a God. The love of God made it happen. You said this thing cannot be explained. The wisdom of God made it happen. So every time we encounter Jesus, because of that encounter, the DNA of God is imparted into us. Now the question is, if God is so bogus and you cannot explain God, how can you carry God's DNA? Because in Christ, he engineered that wisdom. That if Christ can carry it, then a mortal vessel can also carry it. So when you receive Jesus, you receive the DNA of God. You now become a legitimate child of God. You may not look like it. You may not even know it. But you are. Because God makes it happen. That's why he didn't say, you now feel like the Son of God. He said, you have the right to become the Son of God. Because in the realm of the Spirit, it is credited to you. Now, the problem is, the reason you became a child of God had nothing to do with you. It was God who worked out the wisdom and the engineering. So you didn't play any part. You just believed your way into it. Now that you believed your way into it, you may just rest and think the journey is over. That's why when a man remains a child, God can't commit anything to him. Because he has not made up his mind to explore the corridor of God. He just accepted everything God did. And I said all I did, I said, so you will understand the background work that went into play. Imagine, when you receive Christ, it's just like God puts an ocean into a cup. And then he gave you the cup to drink and satisfies your taste. Now that your taste is satisfied, you don't know what it took for the ocean to enter a cup. You didn't play any part. And because you don't know what it took for an ocean to be in a cup, you won't know what it takes for your taste to be satisfied. You will just think you took a casual cup of water. You didn't drink a cup of water. If they showed you the wisdom God displayed for the ocean to enter the cup before you drank it, you will be humble. So when you receive Christ, you actually receive the totality of God in your small body, in your small spirit. But it didn't occur to you what God did for the whole of God to be compressed into Christ for you to receive Christ. So you can be a child of God and still say, I feel like drinking beer. And you go and drink beer. You can still say, I feel like fornicating. And you go and fornicate. And when you come to church and somebody say, fornication is a sin, you now come and cry and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I won't do it again. And God will forgive you because you are a child. You don't know what it took for God to sit in your heart. Because the one sitting in your heart, once upon a time, they could not even call his name. Because they couldn't call his name, they had to call him I am. He went so far as to compressing himself and putting himself in one man so that you can receive that man. Now that you have received him, you didn't know the labor that was put in place for him to dwell in you. So you can afford to take it for granted. Even when he calls you and say, I want to work with you, you say, I'll come next year. I'm busy doing something now. When I'm free, I will come. Because you don't know the investment that went into you. It's just like money that should be enough for a whole state. For the project of a whole state. They now use that money to build a house for you. And then you come into that house. You see? You jump on the chair. And then you are careless. You don't even clean the chair. Sometimes you even leave a knife on the chair and tear the chair. You don't know that that house you are enjoying, the resources in that house is for a whole state. But it was lavished on you because of love. That's the problem of a child. He's unreasonable. And it's unreasonable because he doesn't understand. So he can carry his hallowed hands and do evil. He can use his own body that is now the temple of the Holy Ghost and do evil. Because he doesn't know what it took for God to dwell on his inside. Before Jesus came, it was impossible to find God in one place. But God had to compress his whole being into one place and he gave it to you. Now, when you realize that it took so much for you to receive God, you will now make up your mind to begin to explore what you carry. That journey of exploring into what you carry is what we call the dynamics of sonship. When you receive eternal life, you become a legitimate child of God. But there's not much God can do with you until you become a son. Now, when you become a son, there are three indicators that show that you become a son. Before I talk about the dynamics, number one, indicator that you become a son is that you become reasonable. You become reasonable. When you become reasonable, you will stop living for what you want. You will start living for what he wants. Now, when you see people who do what they want or what they desire, it means they are children. They are unreasonable. So the guy is still moved by the promptings of the flesh. When you see him doing something, it's about self-aggrandizement. It's about ego. Even if it's a spiritual thing. Now, the reason you see us fighting ourselves, the reason you see us competing with ourselves, the reason you see us hating ourselves is because we are still doing things based on our promptings. So it doesn't matter what God wants. If I don't want it, I will do everything to make it not work. I can even go as far as pulling it down. Now, somebody can start a church and the church is growing because you are not happy with the person. You can move around everywhere to discredit that person for that church to fail. And when that church fails, you now come and say, ah, we knew he will fail now. Started, he was running everywhere. Meanwhile, once upon a time, this church was sitting 20,000 people. Now this church is sitting only 10 people. Instead of you to weep that the kingdom of God is suffering because of your ego, you are now happy that the church that used to sit 10,000 people is now sitting 10 people. And you are happy because you think the person is going down. The person is not going down. The kingdom of God is going down. But the problem is that you are a child. Because it now satisfies your ego, you are happy. In the realm of the spirit, they are crying. Because in the realm of the spirit, heaven rejoices if one soul is added to the kingdom. But you are on earth rejoicing when 9,000 souls left the kingdom. You are a child. You don't know. You are living by your feelings. You are living by the things that move you. So you are not yet a son. You will go and fast on a mountain for 40 days and tell God to give you the power to take Boko for him. Your prayers will never be answered. Because you are not interested in Boko. You are not interested in the kingdom of God. You are interested in your ego. Because if you are interested in Boko and the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter who God is using. So long as the kingdom of God is advancing, you are okay. That's why you prayed in the first place. You are not praying for God to make you a superstar in Boko. You are praying for God to take over Boko. And if God chooses to use a donkey, you are satisfied. But if you are troubled that you are not the one, and it's only a testimony when you are the one, you are not a son. So children are unreasonable. You know how children think? It must be about them. If it's not about them, then it's not working. But when it's about them, it's okay. The reason the body of Christ is not moving, there are many children. The sister will not dress well to come for service because she's not the one leading songs. But the day she will lead the choir. The brother will not fast and pray to come for service because he's not the one preaching. The day he's preaching, that day he will wear a suit. We are moved when it's us. And because it's always about us, the kingdom will suffer. And that's why God doesn't commit kingdom to children. Because children think it's about them. Number two, when you become a son, you become a son, number one, you become reasonable. And reasonable means God first before man. God's will, not my will. You know what Jesus said in Gethsemane? He said, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by. Can I tell you, Jesus didn't want to die for you. That's why they didn't say, for Jesus so loved the world. If it were for Jesus, sir, hear me. If it were for Jesus, we would still be in sin because it's hard. And he didn't hide it. He said, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by. I don't want to pay this price for man. Nevertheless, not by will. That means dying for you was not his will. But dying. But he's reasonable. So even though he didn't feel like, he did what the Father wanted. See, these are not, they are not bogus things. I can talk to you about things that you will run out of this hall. But when we are talking sonship, we are trying to show people what matters. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's why I told us to repent yesterday. Because we will struggle in Boko until we realize it's not about us. That's when you can run around for another man's program. Because the program is not the man's program. It's our program. That's why it will be difficult for you to speak ill about somebody else. When Paul, who was then Saul, was persecuting the church in Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to him. He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because when you hurt a brother, you didn't hurt the brother. When you hurt a sister, you didn't hurt the sister. When you malign a brother, when you discredit a brother, it is Jesus you are laboring to discredit. The only thing is that you don't have access into the realm of light. So you come on the pulpit, you praise Jesus, you go to the back, you discredit Jesus. So you destroy what you built. That's why the church doesn't grow. You think you are talking against brother A or brother B. When Jesus appears to you, he will say, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul thought he was fighting the church in Jerusalem. He didn't know it was Jesus he was fighting. Until he was brought into the realms of light. That was when he saw the meaning of the body of Christ. And that was why Paul was the only one that had the stature to teach about corporate existence. Imagine now that you carry a knife and you cut your hand. Or you cut your leg. You say, "Me, I'm hand. I'm dealing with leg." You are a funny man. Because your leg is the same with your hand. If you cut your leg, even though your hand is the one working, your leg, your whole body will feel the pain. When you malign a brother, you are killing yourself. You don't know. Because in the spirit, we are one. It's called the mystical body. But because we remain children, we will not know. We will be so angry that this person is prospering, and then we go somewhere, we try so hard to pull the person down, and the next thing we organize a vigil, and we are calling for revival in Boko. You are the anti-revivalist. When the angels look at you, they will say, "Who is this uninformed person?" You burn your house, you build again. You burn it, you build again. And then you are hoping that the house will grow. We are children. We are children. So when we become sons, we become reasonable. Number two, when we become sons, we pursue eternal reward, not earthly gratification. Because we know that we are pilgrims on the face of the earth. We now realize that the earth is not our home. So everything we do, it's not for earthly gain. While we are on earth, God will increase us. But everything God gives us on earth is like committing to a trust fund. Everything God gives us on earth is to help facilitate an eternal agenda. So Paul will say, "I have finished my course." He said, "There remained for me a crown of life." So what Paul was pursuing was a crown in eternity. So when you see Paul in Acts chapter 15 verse 26, the Bible said, Paul and Barnabas, now their zeal for the Lord came to a point where they even endangered their lives. He said, "These be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. Why would they do that? Because of eternal reward." You know, let me show you a simple illustration. Our sister came from the UK to attend a program in Boko. And she's been blessed and having a good time. Meanwhile, there's somebody who is now assuming that the day he steps into UK, that's the day his life will begin. He thinks that life has not started until the day the border of UK opens. And the moment he enters UK, he will now put it on Facebook and say, "Finally, we are alive." Meanwhile, he will come to HS and he will be so tired. "Lord, when will I go to UK?" The HS that you think is nothing, that you undermine, is this atmosphere here that she traveled from UK to come and receive for 3 days. Meanwhile, you are living under this atmosphere. It's nothing. Sometimes you cross your leg at home, you are watching a movie, you say, "I don't feel like going." You want to jump on a plane and go to the UK. Meanwhile, people are traveling from UK to come and receive the atmosphere. The reason is because the presence of God can't be compared to America. The presence of God cannot be compared to London. So when you become a son, you don't pursue things. You pursue the presence of God. You seek Him with all your heart. Because you know that everything on earth is vanity. It's a lie. It is only the things that are eternal that is worth your attention. So you will deploy your energy and your life resources to trap the glory of God and to stay there. Your pursuit will not be Sodom and Gomorrah, because it's a land of green vegetation. You will stay where God stays. The difference between Abraham and Lot is that Abraham valued the presence. Lot valued places. So Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. It was green. Abraham was looking heaven, into heaven. Somebody else is looking around. Somebody else is looking to the presence. A son focuses on eternity. A child focuses on things. Where is he walking? Where is he happening? That's where he wants to go to. When you journey there, the man who focuses on the presence, a point will come when even where you are looking for, God will add it to him. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He says, all other things shall be added to you. Some people will run from Boko to Lagos because they think it's working in Lagos. You may go to Lagos and be swallowed up. But the man who is in Boko, when he travels high in the presence, a day will come when Lagos will fall at his feet. And if he has to go to Lagos, he will go there as a prince. Thousands will gather waiting for him with applause. Meanwhile, you who run to Lagos in the flesh, you will sink in Lagos. Because when you pursue the presence, you ascend into eternity. And when you go to eternity, earth becomes your possession. That's why God gave Abraham earth. I'm saying this to you because sometimes God will send you to places where you don't want. And instead of you exploring God, subduing that territory and ascending in God, you will waste your time and be distracted, running to places that God wants to give you as an inheritance. And by the time you get there, that place will swallow you up. But if you stay where God says to stay, and you find the rivers of eternity, that land you are looking for, you may not even need to go there again. Your sons and your daughters will come from afar. Strangers will stand to build your walls. The kings of those lands will come to you with camels bearing the treasures of this life. That's why nobody is disadvantaged, because the buffer of life is the presence of God. You may come from a poor background, you may be in a village, trap the glory there. You will be shocked that America will come looking for you. London will come looking for you. But you see, when men don't become sons, they pursue earthly things and they run away from where God plants them. But when you are a son, you will stay where God is. And if you stay there long enough, the places that should have distracted you, the goods of that land will come to you. Sons don't wonder. They pursue inheritance. They pursue inheritance. You will be shocked if you trap enough of God's presence here. Senators can come from the U.S. just to spend a moment, and they will think coming here was the greatest achievement of their life, because you have captured eternity. Presidents can come here. You will sit down here. They will come with their sirens and pack. You may not even pay attention to them. Dr. Paul said many years ago, a man wanted to give him a property, and he was going for healing and deliverance service. And the man told him, come now. There is a land for you in Asokoro. And you know, there are choice places in Abuja. And he told him, oh, sorry, I'm going for healing and deliverance service. And the man said, Kai, but if you can't come now, they can't sign the papers anymore. He said, if that's the case, no problem. And he went for healing and deliverance service. Today, he can buy a region of Abuja if he wants. When they were building the glory dome, he dropped 2.4 billion once. That was his first installment. And when he gave the testimony, he said he has houses that they gave him in America. He has not even entered some. They just bring the papers. He pile them like this. Meanwhile, some of us would have called assistant pastor and say, take over that service. Because people take over that service, that's why you will never be big. But today, some people just watch the healing and deliverance service and they give him lands in nations. When you become a son, you will treasure the presence. You will treasure eternity. You will not miss your prayer time. Because you know, every time you go to the altar, it's an encounter with eternity. But when you are a child, you can afford to say, Kai, reschedule the prayer meeting. You want to go out on a date. If I don't go out today, I may miss this girl. And I know what it took me to secure this date. I've been trying to reach her for 3 months. And the time the lady called you was fellowship time. And then you abandon fellowship time. Even if that lady marries you, both of you will suffer. But if you stay in the presence, she will find you. And even if you leave, you will have a better person.
Yes, sir.
Where you will find rest and peace. Don't wonder. Grow up and establish your tent in the presence. That's a sign that you are a son. When you can live in God's presence and you treasure it more than everything, it means eternity is your focus. And I tell you, on earth, you'll be a prince. Because Jesus said, Peter came to him and said, what is in this thing for us? We have left all in pursuit of you. He said, no man that leaves all will lack, not in this life or in the life to come. He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. There are most of you that have grabbed the horns of the altar and it looks as if life is difficult. Don't be deterred. Don't be deterred. What gives us value is not where we are living. What gives us value is not what we have. They say a man's worth is not in the multitude of his possession. What gives you value is the things you can command in the spirit. The realm where you utter your voice from. Those are the things that truly matter. Because it's a waste for you to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul. I'd rather be a prince in Zion than be a famous man on earth that have no standing in the spirit. When you become a son, you will value eternity. You may not be popular. You may not be famous. You can even walk to a meeting. Nobody knows you. That's not a problem. Because the men that everybody clap for, the angels may not even know them. And the reason why the men they are clapping for will be relevant is because you are doing something in the closet. Paul said Epaphras is one of you. A bond servant of Christ. Laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Nobody knew Epaphras. Paul had to introduce Epaphras to his people. But in the realm of the spirit, Epaphras was more relevant than the whole members of the church in Colossae. Don't pursue things. Grow to the stature of a son where nothing moves you. Even if they take everything from you, you are not disadvantaged. He said, I've learned how to abound and to abase. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the realm of sons. They are not moved. Do you know the kind of ministry Paul did? Paul comes to a place, he plants a church, the church begins to blossom. And then they come, they kick Paul out of that city. Paul will never lament or complain. He will move to the next city where God is leading him and start. If you were to leave Hearts and Songs today, can you bear it? If you can, then you are a son. Because it's not Hearts and Songs that give you relevance. Hearts and Songs is one of the tokens that God has committed to you because of your standing in the spirit. When you become a son, your value is not in things. You see, we are a generation where we treasure things so much. A man can choose to leave God in order to keep ministry. Because what will people say? Yesterday I was pastoring 5,000. Today if I don't pastor 5,000 again, they will say I'm failing. No, we don't bother about what people say. We are concerned about what they are saying in heaven. That's why if you study Acts of the Apostles, Paul will build a church and leave that church. Because God said go to the next city. And Paul will go and start with 2 people. And he will be satisfied. We don't value eternity. And if we don't grow into sonship, when we leave this world, we will discover that we pursued vanity. And let me assure you, ministry can become vanity if ministry takes the place of God. Number three, when you become a son, they've sacked my brother. You know, I'm saying this because there are young people here. Some people think success in ministry is because you are now having invitations. So they see your flyer. You are in Lagos. You are in Abuja. They say, man of God, God is helping you. God is not helping you because you are traveling. That's a responsibility. Somebody else's responsibility will be to be on the altar. That person on the altar may be receiving more help than the person traveling. Some people see you fly in the plane and they now say, oh boy, you have moved. It's necessary. That's why you flew. If I'm an intercessor in one location, I don't need to fly. So it's not the airport that gives me credibility. I'm not a pilot. I'm a witness. I'm not hurt because I'm traveling. Sometimes it's even a distraction. But when we don't grow into sonship, when we abandon what God gave us and begin to pursue other things, and because somebody else is traveling, somebody begins to call people. Oh, but invite me for meeting now. Now I'll meet you. I know they invite person. Don't worry about honorarium. I will come. I will come. Invitation won't give you relevance. What will give you relevance is where you are standing in the spirit. That's sonship. That's why when you become a son, nothing moves you. People can go out and publish it that you are failing. You will laugh. John was baptizing men. The whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. When Jesus came, everybody left John. Even his disciples came and said, that man you baptized, all men go to him. They were trying to tell John, oh, this our ministry is not beginning to fail. This one, everybody is leaving us and going to Jesus. John said, I must decrease while he must increase. I know my assignment. I came to announce him. My job is finished. He knows eternity. And when Jesus spoke about John, he said, of all men born of women, there is none greater than John. That was the man that everybody left his ministry. When John announced Jesus, two of his disciples left him and followed Jesus. If it's us, we will start a doctrine there. We will say, Jesus is a breaker of churches. He took two of my members because we are pursued. We are driven by membership. John laughed. I must decrease. Even when he was in the prison, he wasn't moved. Do you know what they will say? I thought he said he's a revivalist. Now that they have put him in the prison, he will learn his lessons. Even in the prison, John wasn't moved. You will think John will be praying, Lord, when will you deliver me? Lord, imagine the shame and the ridicule. If this is how you want me to end, why did you send me out in the first place? Is this how I'm going to end? He was burdened in the prison. Hope I didn't choose the wrong Messiah. And he sent his disciples, are you the one to come? Or do we expect another? In the prison, he wasn't praying about his congregation. He wasn't praying about his name. Hey, my name has been ridiculed. He knows that in the spirit, he still has rank. His focus was the assignment. Are you the one to come? Or do we expect another? He didn't even send to Jesus and say, deliver me from here. I supported you. It was because of me that your ministry grew. Now you are ministering everywhere. The crowd is following you. You are leaving me to rot in prison. It wasn't about prison. It was not playing mind game. Because if it's us now, we want to indebt people. When you were small, I was the one that gave you credibility. Now you are big. You are going everywhere. For me, you are forgetting us. There was no time for that. Because when he checked with heaven, he was still accurate. Are you the one to come? That was his body. He didn't abort his body, even in prison. The day they called him to be beheaded, there was no record that he begged. He knew he finished his assignment. When you read the Bible, put yourself in the picture. If not, you will not understand it. If it's you here, you will call the senators you know. The ministry must work because what we men say.
What will men say? I started very well. I ended in a prison.
You didn't start on earth to end on earth. You are journeying into eternity. Told me, he said, man of God, the way you are doing this thing, you may build other people's work, you will not succeed. Though. I said, I didn't come to succeed. Yes, I came to be accurate. Yes, if I'm accurate and I succeed, glory to God. But I'd rather be accurate than to succeed and not be accurate. I'm following a calendar. There were things written concerning me in the volume of the books. When I discover the next one, I do it. I'm not here to be creative. When God speaks, I follow. If He doesn't speak, we remain there. I served for more than 17 years. I served people. Some of them were even my mates. We don't know matters of eternity. The things that matter. We are not called to live and to end in this realm. We are pilgrims on the face of the earth. We came from eternity. And we are going back to eternity. When you leave this world, everything you did here will be judged. And that's when what you did will matter. The applause of men does not add rank to you. The gathering of men does not add rank to you. Paul knew it. And that's why he spoke about the crown of life. There are immortal things that we pursue. That's why we strive to be accurate. Please sit down. There are some of us who are pressured unnecessarily. I may not even be able to enter my message. But even if I don't, I came to tell you, find rest. Refuse the pressure. It's not necessary. What was written about you is different from what was written about the other person. That's why some are evangelists. Others are intercessors. Both of you can start pursuing God on the same day. One may become him popular and more popular. You may become more obscured. You are on a different path. He is an evangelist. He needs popularity to do what God told him to do. You need to be hidden to do what God told you to do. Because you are an intercessor. Popularity will distract you. So even when you are trying to be on Instagram and YouTube, God will cover you. You know, he said, I will hide you by the cleft of the rock. There are certain men that God himself, he will hide them so that the glory can pass. If I don't hide you, you can't see the glory. For you to see the glory, I will be the one to hide you by the cleft of the rock. So even though you are trying to be known on TBN, the day you are online, nobody will watch. He wants the glory to pass by so that you will see all of his goodness. And he will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. That is honor in the spirit. Imagine, God tells a man, wait, I want to show you all my dimensions. The man said, no, I want to see the world. I want the world to see me. What is the world? He said, I want to proclaim the name of the Lord. He said, when I pass, we see my back. Ah! And a point came when God was defining the rank of Moses. That was what was his ranking. He said, for other prophets, I speak to in dreams and in dark sentences. But for Moses, my servant, I talk to him face to face. So the day Moses gained rank was the day God hid him, not the day Moses was popular. Stop pursuing things. Find rest. It's a realm of songs. It's a realm of songs. Rest is to be in the center of God's will. Be there. It's enough. It's enough. I don't know why I'm talking in this direction, but I think God is doing surgery in the hearts of people. Don't judge your success by physical parameters. Your success is the degree to which you fulfill God's will for your life. Stay there. You will be glad. At least the day you leave this world, you will be glad. Men may put you under pressure, you'll be crying. The day you are leaving this world, you'll be glad. That's when God will tell you that the reason I visited Boko was because of your prayer in the closet. You will be consoled. Stay in God's will. There are three dynamics of sonship. I will just mention it. And the Lord will give us understanding. The first dynamic of sonship is to behold. It's not to be in church. When you are in church, you can behold. But it's beyond being in church. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory unto what? That glory of God. That's what you are changing from to, by the Spirit of the living God. I would have taught you what beholding means. We don't have time. The second dynamics of sonship is to be led. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They that are led. When you become a son, every aspect of your life will be a function of divine leading, not creativity. Children are creative. Sons are yielded. They are two different worlds. The third dynamic of sonship is intimacy. It's intimacy. Until you become like him. It's intimacy. That's why when Adam fell, he was driven from the garden. He lost intimacy. When you are a child, you can love preaching. You will be a preacher. And a very erudite preacher. But when you become a son, your body will be intimacy. You can lose your peace if you have not been with God for one day. But a child won't notice. Because so long as he has an anointing, he will run with it. So long as that anointing is working, he doesn't need God. If he comes for a meeting and people fall, people are healed, he will be happy. The day he will go and pray is maybe when he's going for a big meeting and he feels that what he carries is not sufficient. He will now go and kneel and say, Lord, help me, help me. And he will be praying in tongues deeply. He's not doing any business with God, though. He's generating more anointing. When he sends the anointing, he will go and shower and he will enter the meeting. When people start falling, he's excited. When he goes back, he will forget God. Because children run with gift. But sons, they tarry with the presence. That's why Moses said, we will not move from here. I know with a staff, I destroyed Egypt. I know I commanded plagues, they came down. But if you don't go with us, we will not go. The reason going is worth it is because you are with us. If you are not there, I won't go. He said, no, I will send an angel. Oh, if we are the one now, we will come and say, I travel with a cherubim. When I stood, I saw one cherubim at the door. I saw another cherubim. Moses had cherubims. He said, I don't want them. If you don't come with me, I won't go. There was a time I was praying. I said, Lord, I want light to start appearing in my meeting. I didn't care whether people were transformed. I went for one meeting in Port Harcourt. It was drizzling, an open air crusade. And when we entered, as I was talking, smoke was coming out of my body. I stopped. I called Ogbe. I said, come. Come see this thing. When Ogbe saw, Ogbe almost fell down. And I said, when he was far, did he notice it? He said he didn't notice it. And I started checking. Can the camera capture it? It pained me that the camera didn't capture it. I wished it was on camera. If that thing appeared on camera, that clip would have been an eternal scene. Even when I'm dying, they will put that video on my coffin. The man that emitted the glory. That's the realm of a child. He wants to be known as a superstar, a wonder man. When we grow, our body becomes the presence. You can gauge it in your heart. Everywhere you go is heavy. It's heavy. Sometimes you want to say certain things, you can't say it. Because the presence is a government. It will tame you. It will so tame you that you become an expression of the Christ. There are many places you want to go, your leg can't go there. You become a slave of the atmosphere. There are many things you can do, but you won't have the strength to do it. You want to fight, but the presence is a government. When that economy is at work in you, blessed art thou among men. Nobody may know you, but there are many things God can't do except people like you are around. You know, when Abraham was interceding for Sodom, God said, this your prayer will not be answered. It will only be answered if there are 10 righteous men in that city. That means you can be a healing evangelist, but you may not be able to take a city until there is a quorum of men in that city. I know you are gifted. Come and manifest your gift and go. But for this city to be saved, I must find a quorum. That means those men are the men that make things happen in that territory. If the territory must be affected, men of the presence must dwell there. Those men may not be preachers, but the reason the utterance of a preacher will work is because they are there. So even though Abraham was a great patriarch, he said the safety and the salvation of Sodom is dependent on the righteous men of that city. God may keep you in Gboko. Nobody may know you. You may not be a preacher. But if the move of God will come to Gboko, you must live in Gboko. You say, I want to go to Abuja. Things are not working. He says, stay here. In the last 10 years, I only found 2 of your kind, and I need 10. You will now discover that you are very important. Because it took God 10 years to find 2 of your kind. You think God is not using you, nothing is happening. He needs you in the city for things to happen. After 25 years that he will find 10. The reason you are feeling troubled is because you are the first. The one that was last may just be found 2 months later, revival will start. You were found 25 years ago. Now, the reward in the spirit is that you bear the strongest witness. Even though you were the most frustrated, it took God 25 years to find 10 of your kind. Now, you need to know that there may be 2,000 apostles in Gboko. There may be 40,000 Christians in Gboko. But your type, it took 25 years to find 10. Those are the kind of men God is looking for. If I find 10 righteous men in Sodom, I will spare the city. For you to get there, you must become a slave of the presence. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a singer. But you are a witness. And every time you raise incense to the spirit, you are a memorial. You become like a pillar of the New Jerusalem.
So the house God wants to build in that city will stand on your shoulder. That's why the New Jerusalem, the foundation had the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. They are the pillars that bear that weight. It's a dynamic of sonship. That's why sons, they explore the presence. They explore. They want to see more. They want to know him more. They want to go deeper, deeper, deeper. But when you are a child, you have no business with the presence. When you are in your room for 10 minutes, you are distracted. You are looking for spoon in the kitchen. You are checking your phone. What is happening? You are all over the place. When you become a son, you explore the realms. Because there are things you want to see. That was why they cast John to the Isle of Patmos. They thought he would be lonely and die. He was having fun. They say, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a sound. He was exploring the heavens. In Revelation 4 verse 1, he said, come up hither, and I will show you the things hereafter. You know what God was telling him? When this world ends, I will create another world. Come, let me show you how we create that world. That means John became a co-creator with God. The next project God has, when the age of man ends, John is already a part of it. That was what God did for certain angels before this realm was created. He said, when God created the foundations of the earth, he said, the sons of God, they sang for joy. So there are sons of God that lived in the world in the ages past that saw how God created this realm. And then there will be sons of God in this age that will see how God will create the next age as a witness. John is one of them. He said, I will show you the things hereafter. It took depth of intimacy for him to get there. You think if somebody like John come, he will be moved because 5,000 people gather? No, he has seen something that is beyond human applause. You think John will be moved by honorarium? No. He has seen things that money can't buy. They are called the things hereafter. Those will be the things that are motivating. Somebody like John, if you like, speak against him, he will not be moved. Praise him, he will not be moved. If you think you are helping him, you may be distracting him. He has seen the world to come. All of that is in the presence. The assets and the wealth of God are in the presence. And because sons know, they pursue the presence. How much stamina do you have in the presence? How far? I know you are a leader. But how far can you travel in the presence? What have been shown to you? How many secrets can God entrust you with? He said, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. How many secrets have God shown you? I know you are an apostle. I know you are a popular evangelist. I know you are a prophet. I know men honor you. But how many secrets have they shown you? What is the stake you hold in the presence? The things that happen around us are byproducts of the places we have gone to. And that's why we are not moved by the things that happen around us. David said, you can take the crown. You can take the kingship. You can take the dynasty. You can take the wealth. But take not thy spirit from within me. That's my true asset. Your stake in the spirit. I know the church in Goku respects you. But what is your stake in the spirit? I know you can gather everybody in Goku. But what is your stake in the spirit? Eshago, how much of the spirit do you know? That's the body.
I travel with my brothers. My friend Richard is a man of utterance. If Richard starts talking here, everywhere will be on fire. I love it when he begins to. The walls will be coming like a river. But what is your stake in the spirit? I came, they said, Apostle Michael. Sometimes when I hear it, I say, help me, Lord. Help me. You know, in the last 2 months, I've not transited. And these people are here assuming. Sometimes when you come for a meeting, people assume that, you live in heaven. When they make those assumptions, I start crying. Because those assumptions they make is actually where I'm supposed to be. But unfortunately, I'm not there. They look at you, they think, maybe this morning an angel came to his room. And meanwhile, in the last 3 months, I've not interacted with him. But men are making assumptions. And then you are walking in their assumption. When they say, Apostle, you now walk like that. They say, this man touches the heavens. And you are walking. Meanwhile, for the past 7 years, you have not come close to the heavens. What is your stake in the spirit? What is your stake? If you know that your stake in the spirit is beginning to deplete, you need to put everything aside. Because that's what gives you the rank of a son. God can entrust you with things. All of us are preaching in Boko. I assure you, the people that know the blueprint of Boko in the spirit, they are not up to three. There will be a revival in Boko. All of us is referencing Pa Elton. It's actually a body that Pa Elton, more than 60 years ago, understood the blueprint of God for Boko. He never stepped into Boko. He never lived in Boko. But he knew what God wants to do in Boko. But I have been in Boko for 10 years. I don't even know what God is doing. And every time I talk about Boko, I go and quote Pa Elton. That didn't come into this land. It's a sign that I'm oblivious of what God is doing. A man who never knew Boko geographically had so much stake in the spirit that the blueprint of Boko was given to him. I say I'm a prophet in Boko. I'm an apostle in Boko. And I don't know what God wants to do in Boko. And I don't have a body. There are many men who didn't come to Nigeria, but they chronicled the move of God in Nigeria for the next 50 years. And I'm a preacher in Nigeria, running everywhere. I don't even know what God wants to do in Nigeria. I should weep. That means, even though you are in Nigeria, you don't have enough stake in the spirit for God to entrust the future of Nigeria to you. Don't tell yourself you are a preacher in a city until you know God's agenda for that city. Because you can't address the territory. The men who can address a territory are the men that God have entrusted his agenda for that territory to. If not, we'll make the number, but we'll not make the quorum. The quorum is for trusted men. I wish you understood my body. Allow God to go look for men outside to tell them about what he wants to do in your house because you are irresponsible. Imagine if you are a father and a head of a family, and then somebody has come from outside and say, your son is sick. Take him to the hospital. And you who is in the house, as the head of the house, you don't know. It's a mark of irresponsibility. We thank God for the prophecies of Elton.
Yes, sir.
But we need those who are in Boko to take the burdens of Boko.
Yes,
so that God can also entrust to them the secrets of God for Boko.
Oh, yes.
It's not pride. It's not a glorious thing to keep referencing Elton. Elton knew Boko 70 years ago. You have been in Boko for 40 years. You still don't know Boko. When can God trust you with Boko? When can God trust you with Benue? When can God trust you with Nigeria? He will do that if you can serve the presence. If you can steward the presence. Because the foundation of priesthood is to minister to the presence. Separate unto me Aaron and his son. Exodus 28 verse 1. That they may minister unto me in the priest office. The reason we don't have priesthood over territories is because we are not slaves of the presence. For those that have understanding, and for those who are mature, they know the burdens I'm communicating. Ask the Lord to help you. Some of you are too young to understand this thing, but it will enter your spirit. If you don't have a burden for Boko, if you don't have a reference, a spiritual reference for Boko, then God is not trusting you with Boko. That's what it means. You may have 20 branches of churches here. You are not part of God. Those God we use to deliver Boko. Because those God we use to deliver Boko, He is already talking to them about Boko. They know the agenda of God for Boko. So even when they organize program, it's not because churches should have program. Their programs are strategies. Where they do the program, when they do the program, how they do the program, who they bring for the program, it's all a strategy. Because they know what God is doing. They don't just invite guest ministers because they are popular. They invite guest ministers because they have checked what God told them about Boko. And they know these ministers have the sword to bring that kind of witness so that we can draw closer to the strategy. It's a strategy. They know Boko. And sometimes they may stop programs because they also know what God is doing. So they will shut in their closet and begin to dig the wells. But when you don't know the city, you can become creative. You are not a son. You will do program because churches should do program. You will invite people because they are your friends or because they are popular. But when you know the strategy of God for the city, you will know what to do. The places you even do the program may be a potter. God will tell you, go and do a program at the edge of the city, the boundary of the city. It's a potter. It's a strategy. Because maybe the angels are beginning to measure the territory so that they can bring glory into the territory. So God is telling you, go there. There's a measuring taking place. So where the program holds is a strategy. And the nature of the program is also a strategy. You may organize that program there, and for 3 days you are just worshiping. Because God didn't call him, He's not calling people to come and teach. He's calling you to join the angels in a procession of dividing the city, because the heritage is about to be given. So when you stand there, the idea behind the worship is to align with the angelic ranks. And when you finish that program, the city will be divided. The program is a strategy. But we can't be that strategic in the spirit until we become slaves of the presence and these things are revealed.
You said that you
I want to pray now.
We declare.
When we become sons, kingdom will be advanced. You can organize a meeting for 10th of March and then you go back to the presence and God tells you the angel is scheduled to come into the territory. He's coming on the 21st of March. You have done billboards. But you are a man of the presence. You know that if you do that program on the 10th of March, it's activity. You will shift the program. Even if the population will reduce from 10,000 to 300, you know that what will make the program effective is the angel scheduled for the city is coming on the 21st. But you can't do this until you are a son. If you are not a son, you'll be more interested in the number that will come, so that you'll stop it and put on Facebook. Facebook won't deliver a city. That's why you see our meetings. We show so much crowd online, yet nothing is happening in the territory, because there's no alignment with the heavens. There are no songs. There are three people that God will put his hand on to open their eyes, to bring them into deeper waters of the spirit, and to begin to show them strategies. If we become sons, sir, there will be strange ministries. So some people will never preach to anybody. God will just tell them, walk around the city and pray in tongues. That's all. They may be hungry, but that's the assignment. Walk around the city. And every day, they are walking around the city praying. You will say, what is happening? It's intelligence in light. This is what those in the dark knows. Do you know some of these Balaams that are shoe shiners? They didn't come to your city to do shoe shining. They are astrologers. So you see them selling water, shining shoe. They are taking over the city. They are talking to the moon and the star. There are places, angular projections that are needed to address the moon. So some of them, we go to Boko South. It's not because they love Boko South. That's the direction of astrology. And when they stand there at 4 p.m., they can talk to the moon and talk to the powers of the constellation and change things in the city. And you will not know why your prayer life dies. Because one young Malam, a small Malam, knew the time of the spirit and the angle in the spirit to channel the powers of the constellation and to dwarf your spiritual activity. But how can you fight him when you are a man of activity? You don't know the strategies of the realm. God tells you the only way to shatter what they have done is to wake up by 1 a.m. But you are sleeping by 1 a.m. We need wisdom in life. We are talking. We don't have intelligence in the spirit.
Is to walk with you on this holy journey.
Tell the Lord to help you.
My desire.
When it comes to territorial takeover, they are wisdoms. They are lexicons of truth. They are dimensions that we must isolate from the presence. When we come to sing, I share this with my brothers. I say, worship is not a good song. It's a strategy to download the government of heaven. It's not about a voice. What can you pipe into the atmosphere? What can you download? Men worship God and angels were deployed. We are worshiping, we think it's about a good voice. No. We have not grown.
My desire is to worship my Savior on this holy journey.
On this holy
journey until I am known. My desire is to walk with you, my Savior, on this holy journey until I am known.
In Jesus' name. My utterance are finished. I've been struggling to stop. But there are things I needed to utter. After this program, some of you will begin to receive strategies. You will know ministry is not activity. It's divine strategy for territorial takeover. I want to pray now. There are some of you that will receive instant impartations that will teleport you to realms in the spirit, realms of understanding, realms of intimacy, realms where dimensions and graces are committed as entrustment. Father, now eyes that see begin to see, ears that hear begin to hear, hearts that understand begin to understand. I provoke a release of the spirit. Let the waters of eternity flow through this place now. Holy Ghost, touch. 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 Warriors in the spirit.
My desire is to walk with you as I see on this whole journey until I am lost. My desire
is to walk with you, my Savior, on this holy journey I'm trying.
My desire.
If you can, just be calm. There is an envelope of God's glory that is coming upon this place. Some of you will start crying. Some of you, your strength will leave you. You will just go under the weight of that glory.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.